Carreró encontró. Do you believe that tonight? That's why we can depend on God, because he's faithful and he has everything under control, so we can depend on his word, because he will never fail. And we can go to him anytime we have a need, and we know he's going to give us what we have need, not what we want, but what we have need of. And we can put our life, our hands in his word. We can put ourselves in him, because he will take care of us. He hasn't failed me yet. No. I have failed him many times, but he hasn't failed me yet. And that's why we're here tonight. Thank you, musicians. So, we have sung, we have prayed, and now it's time to sit down at the feet of the Master and let him teach us those things that we have to know, whatever he purpose in his before the foundation of the world, that we should learn today, and that he also will bring it to pass and make it a fulfill in our life, whatever his word for today. So this is not something that is casuality that we just met. You know, this is what's already predetermined. Me to be here and you to be there. And everybody to be whatever they are tonight. But this is the place that I would rather be anyway, any other place. So, in church, with my brothers and sisters, worshiping God and praising the Lord. So, let us read right quick from Ephesians. Familiar. Verses. In fact, you just heard this not too long ago. Brother Doug, we've been preaching in this maturity and perfection. So, I'm here just to remind you not only what God said, but sometimes I remind you what the pastor said. Right. Because I'm under his ministry. I ain't going on top of him. But I will remind you what he said last week, because sometimes you need to hear it from somebody else. Right. I used to tell my boy, don't do that, or do this, or do the other, and he never did, you know. So he got to school, the teacher said the same thing I just said, and he comes home, do you know what? I said, well, I've been telling you that 100 years ago. See, because he must have heard it from some other angle that made more sense to him than my angle. So it's not that I'm going to make sense of Brother Doug preaching. You don't need to do that. I will never do that, and I can never do that. It's well expressed, and is even a child can understand what he preaches. But anyway, I'm going to remind you a few things that he has preached, and then I'm going to try to launch to some other thoughts and idea that I have for tonight. So let us read. It says Ephesians 4:4-5 verses. It says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So the Father is the sovereign power. He's the source. See? Not only the source, but he's working in all. Right. Not only working in all, but he's living in all. Right. That's what Paul is trying to say. Amen. So let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for bringing us back together, Father. It is an honor to be here in church with the purchased blood, having fellowship, singing and praising you and loving you and letting you love us, Father, back. This is not the place that I want to be today, but here. Father, we love your presence. Now we ask you to walk among us, Father, and give us what we had need of tonight. I don't know, but you do know. Father, we ask you to come and make love to us through your word. Father, and not only to be hearers of the word, but that the Holy Ghost will impress, implement that word in our life, manifest, become flesh, become you again, living, moving, walking, talking, in this earth, because that was your purpose from the beginning. We love you and we thank you. We were our brother pastor. Give him a quick recovery. And I know he has some tests done today, and they had to dilate his eyes, and it's hard to drive and see. Sometimes it's good that we cannot see, but sometimes we don't have to see everything. But I'm glad that you was with him today, and now we ask you a quick recovery, and not only of the eyes, but the body, the strength, so he can come back and be with us again Sunday. Father, we love you and we thank you for the rest of the ministries in church, the gifts and everything that you have put in this local body, so your word and your work can be accomplished. We thank you, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you all these things. Amen. Amen. So you can be seated. So Wednesday is kind of, I like Wednesday. I love Wednesdays. Because Wednesdays, it lends itself for teaching. Teaching the all good message. And we need teaching because teaching is what place you. Teaching is what position you. See? And Wednesday, I like Wednesday because almost we all home folks. Sunday you got visitors, and sometimes you have to do some evangelistic preaching, and sometimes some teaching, and sometimes some exhortation. But just Wednesday, I like it because it's just the home folks. And Wednesday lends itself to teach, you know, to bring us up higher. See? So that's what we're going to do today. So here, Paul tried to point out in this chapter 4 of Ephesus, he's trying to point out the fact that we need to understand what is our duty. See? What is our responsibilities? You know, we just don't come to church just to be edified. You know, we learn the word and then do what? That's just like giving you a word and put you in a cage and you can do nothing with it. So we give you vitamins and this and that, and you get strong and healthy to do what? To sit down and come back the next Sunday and do the same thing? No. You have a duty and you have a responsibility to the church, to the body. And it's a privilege to be able, you know, because God called us by his grace, and it's a privilege to serve in whatever capacity God has given us. So we come and learn. And as we learn, God will start inspiring you, revealing us what that word means. And then he'll start bringing us closer and closer, because that is what it is. Or, you know, it's to grow. Amen. To grow to maturity. See, we're not doing this just to entertain you, because we don't have nothing else to do. I got a lot to do. But I prefer to be doing this. Amen. You know, just like a child in a family. Your children, you give them food, nutrients, you teach them, you train them, you educate them, you do this, and then, excuse me, they start growing and growing and growing, and the more they grow, the stronger they get, the more they foundation become start taking, you know, form, you know, whatever you believe, you impart to them, the training, the word. So, but what do you think you do all that for? So they can come and become productive what? Citizens. So when they get 18 and they leave, you have confidence that you have done your part. So that son or daughter can be a productive citizen of the kingdom of God as well. And that is your responsibility as parents. That is God's responsibility to teach you, to train you, to educate you, to feed you, and to make you grow closer to him. So what? So you can come to maturity. See? So we have a responsibility, you know, when we come to church. So he's trying to point out also that he's trying to build you up. That's what we're doing here, trying to build you up, trying to equip you with what you need. Because what good it does to give you a good idea, tell you what to do and not show you how to do it, or you don't know what to do with it. So we're not only trying to equip you and give you what you have need of, you know, trying to build you up, but also we try to show you how to implement it. What do you do with that word? See, we teach you, we educate you. This is the training camp. We come to church to be trained. Church is where everything begins. The Bible said that this is where the training starts, in church. So we train you, we equip you, and then we help you. See, we tell you what the word says and how you can make it come to pass in your life through the Holy Ghost. So you can grow closer and closer and closer to God.
Right.
So you can fulfill your purpose.
Amen.
Because everybody here has a purpose.
Right.
You are part of a body, but everyone's individual has a purpose.
Amen.
And you need to find what that purpose that you have been called. That's what Paul said, your calling. He called you for a purpose, and he gave you and equipped you with a gift, at least one. So you can help the body. So what good it does to build you up and to give you everything that you have needed and tell you how to do it, and then you don't become part of a body. Oh, I like that church. Oh, man, the preaching is awesome and blah, blah, blah. But what do you think all that is for? So you can become a productive Christian in the body of Christ and be responsible with whatever God has bring you, and what purpose and what duty you have a gift. So as you grow and you mature, you also start being what place in the church body, in the body, the mystical body, you be in place. So as you mature, you're coming also to be placed in a body. So Paul is saying that is what the purpose of being in the body is, to have the privilege to work, the duty and responsibilities that the body brings, what we were called for. And he gave us many examples. But the main thing is that we can come to a perfect man in Christ or woman. That's the entire goal, to come to church. Because if you come and I come to be the perfect, then we can join the body. Because that is the purpose. See, God brings us to maturity so we can belong. He shapes us. He molds us. No tools, no education, nobody idea, no human's idea, no intellectual, no nothing like that, no tools, no method of human, you know, of man. But it's God taking you and me and rubbing us together like a stone that Paul says, that Peter says, is being polished, not with tools, but against you and me and each other. You know, sometimes if we rub too long, we get a little heat going, and that's good. I mean, if you spend time long enough in church, you might get some kind of a heat going, and then if you rub hard enough, you might get some sparks, you know, and then you can kind of fuse yourself together with one another, because that is what we're doing. We are helping each other. That's why we are here. I help you, you help me, and you help, and we're helping each other with the gift and everything that God has given us and equipped us, so we can become one. In one body, in one accord, in one mind. No tools, no noise. There's a lot of noise out there. But we are listening at this still small voice of God. Yeah. That don't scare me. I don't jump. It's not trying to, you know, kind of surprise me. Come and sneak behind my back and, ooh, and then, no. Just a small, still voice in each one of you, directing you, teaching you, and doing the things that he wants to do for you. So that is what we are here. So this is what Brother Branham said in the adoption series, because involved the whole thing. Paul is talking about reaching maturity in Christ. That's all it is. You are here because you want to be a mature. You don't want to be a 40-year-old child still murmuring and complaining and I want this and I want that. It's my feelings and I don't care about everybody else's feelings. That's what kids do, you know. They try to get your attention because they want you to, you know, pay attention to them. We are not here for that. Brother Brown says in adoption part 3, do you believe in dispensation? Bible says so. In the dispensation of the fullness of time. And I believe that's where we are right now, in the fullness of time. Let's continue reading. What is the fullness of time? There are being dispensations of, well, dispensation of the Mosaic Law, the Old Testament dispensation of John the Baptist. That was a dispensation because it's a different administration, a different plan, a different method. We cannot do what, you know, Luther did. That message was for them. We are in a new dispensation. We have our own message. We have our own schedule. We have our own plans that God wants for us. So all those dispensations, John the Baptist, that was a dispensation of Christ. That was a dispensation of the church organization. That was a dispensation of the appointment of the Holy Spirit. And now is a dispensation of what?
Adoption.
That is our message. A message came to get you ready and prepared to what? For the adoption. What is adoption? Maturity. To bring you to maturity for the rapture. See? That's what the world is waiting, groaning. The manifestation of the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Okay, I added the word daughters. The daughter is not there. Your sons. You know, it was interesting. Now you think it's funny, but it's interesting. Because God told Eve at the beginning, you shall not eat of that fruit. You know, that's all he told. And then she went and told Satan, he said, you shall not touch it or eat it. Okay. God never said touch. He says eat of that fruit. Don't do that. So that's the first time I've seen the scripture from the beginning that Eve added. I guess it was maybe under the influence of someone else that liked to do that. Had to take, you know, Satan. But anyway, that's just a freebie for you. So if I add things or take things, I'm not mean any disrespect to the word, but I don't think she meant anything. But she added the word touch. Yeah, he said, thou shalt not touch with that. But it sounds good anyway. You should not touch and you should not eat it. Because before you eat it, you got to touch it. So, hey, it's still in the ramification of things, okay? We're not missing nothing here. So, he said, when the fullness of the time comes, when the dispensation of the fullness time comes, when is that? What is the fullness of time? When the dead rise, when the sick ceases or cease, he says, when all the earth ceases to what?
Grow.
But when is going to be that? In the other side of the rapture or in this side?
Right.
If you're waiting for that to happen after the rapture, you missed it. Because the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God in this side.
Amen.
God is going to display his plan. This is what I was telling you all these years. It has to be done in this side. What good it do in that side? When we gone, oh yeah, we're going to have the same ministry. If the bride have a ministry, they ask Brother Brian, yes, she will have a ministry.
Sure.
She will rise the dead. She will heal the sick. You know, it's going to come a time, but we are so close, because we are close right now to that adoption, that, you know what, Satan is going to be frustrated. He's going to be destroyed, because you and I, we're going to have the word, and she will have the word, and she will speak the word. And it will happen. So it won't be no sick among her. One of these days, there's going to be no dead among them. There ain't going to be no cancer. There ain't going to be no pain. There ain't going to be no sorrow. That's before we leave. So it's very important that you understand where you need to be. And where you're growing to. And what is supposed to happen before the rapture. When the sickness ceases. You know when the sickness ceases in my life? When I'm full of the... You know, when I become Jesus, you know, this flesh, it will be all consumed with his spirit. That no longer is me, but it's him. Every time I speak, every time I walk, every time I talk, every time I move, it will be him. When that time comes, everything will cease. The devil is done. I mean, he's done right now. Can you imagine where he can not even put a finger or do anything? Listen. When I was in the world, you know, he had rulership of me. I was a slave. I didn't have no choice. And I made choices that actually, you know, changed the direction of my entire life. I made, you know, decisions that actually changed the direction of my life. I got in so much trouble after trouble. I thought I was doing better. I said, I would not do this again. Yeah, right. See, and I got to the point that, you know, I had to go through a war, I had to go through broken relationship, I had to go through everything, and still, Brother Cowboy, I can make a good choice. I tried to make good choices, but every time I made a good choice, I was far, far away from my goal. So what happened? Jesus came. And then when he came, he changed me completely. See? That old master, that old slave driver, it's gone now. Now the house is clean. It's holy. You know? And now Satan comes and he says in here a big, you know, sign in the front door of my heart. It says, under new administration. Yeah. It's a new sheriff in town and you have to stay out. And that's what a new dispensation is. We are in a new dispensation. It's a new sheriff in town. It's a new message in town. It's a new management in town. Amen. That Satan has to deal with. We're not dealing with Luther message. That was for their time. That was their administration they gave Luther and Wesley. We are under a different administration. And you need to know what that administration is supposed to take us and to do. What is the management of this administration? When you go to work, you want to know. See? So he says, that what is the fullness? When death rises, when sickness ceases, when all the earth ceases to groan, because at that point, we're going to stop groaning. But the part, I hurt. See, when I get up in the morning, me, nothing hurts. Praise the Lord. But then I start worrying, I must be dead because nothing hurts. So, see, I cannot even win. You know, because something hurts every day. I mean, to my age, even hurts that I don't even know I had. I have them. So I get up one morning and I don't feel good. I don't want to get up because I think I'm dead because nothing hurts. We get so adjusted to hurts, you know, that we think we have to have it. And if we don't, something is going on. Yeah, I better stay in bed because who knows. When all the earth ceases to groan, when the fullness of the dispensation of time, watch this, when in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather. And that's what he's doing now. Because it's the fullness of time, he's gathering. Okay? Because first he had to gather the bride. First he will gather the evil ones, you know, and then he will gather the bride. But this is the time, this is the time, this is the time of growing up. And you have to make your mind that when you come to that church doors, you are here because you want to grow up. Amen. Grow up to what? I want to reach maturity. That is Jesus Christ. Amen. That no longer is he lie, but is his thoughts, his move, his touch. That everything that I do is a manifestation that brings glory and honor to his name. So let me tell you something. I still making wrong choices. I still making decisions that are, you know, another ones, the right ones. I'm still making them. But one thing is for sure, in the new dispensation, it says it doesn't matter because I'm not doing it because intentionally I want to do them. But in the new dispensation, I like it because when I was in the world, I made a choice and it took me in different direction. My life changed completely from good to bad to worse to ugly. But if you make a mistake, if you make a wrong choice, a wrong decision, the Bible says he will take that, you know, and make it good, and make it to work for your own, for his purpose that you have in your life. He says all things, he makes them good. So if I make a mistake, I don't have to worry that my life is going to drift or my direction is going to change. I make mistakes, but I know one thing, my destination is sure. Your destination is sure. You made mistakes and you're going to do and you're going to get frustrated and things are going to happen. But your destination will never change again. Amen. So go forward. Get up. Forgive me and go forward because that will never change again. God has it all set for you. And he will do everything that he needs to keep it that way. Not even Satan can plug you out of his hand. Never. And he cannot never change your destination again. Amen? Yes. So don't get frustrated. Get up and look forward. You know what the goal is. You know what the end is. It hasn't changed. It never changed. Because God never changed. If he did that, then we get confused. But God never changes. So I'm glad that in this new dispensation, if I make a mistake, I don't have to worry that it's going to take a different direction. He brings me back and points me to the goal. Amen. So you should be happy, at least. Not to make mistakes, but be happy that it don't count. Finally, it don't count anymore. And we don't make it just because we know that it's not going to count. Because we're not doing it intentionally. We don't want to make grace disgrace. But if we do make a mistake, he's able to forgive us. And he's able to keep us. And he's able to use all that for our own good. Amen. Something there. He makes it work out. He's in control. He's in control. So a new dispensation, a new administration, a new sheriff is in town, a new management. God has planned for you and me. God will also carry the plans. See, before you trying to do it, I try to do it. I just surrendered to him. And now I can fulfill his plan because it's no longer me, but it's him in me, helping me to fulfill that plan. See? So give up. You know, stop trying. That's the best thing you can do. Stop trying. And let him take care of every situation. You know? By the way, Sister Emma, I was at the VA today, so I got my shot, my first shot. I'm a little sore. My mouth is still work good. Don't worry about my mouth. Maybe my arm don't work, but my mouth keep running. It hasn't stopped running. I might get sore in my body, but my mouth don't get sore. So you in for it. So God is the one that has the plan. God carries the schedule according to the purpose he called you. How can you mess up that? You can. Now, listen what Brother Brown said in this position of the servant church ages. It was God that purposed to bring forth a people like unto himself that would be a word bride. Now you need to mature to that. We need to mature to that. Because he said it, I believe it, and he will do it. Hey, in spite of you, in spite of me, in spite of the mistake, God is going to have a word bride. And you don't have to worry that you're going to make a decision that is going to take you away from his plan or his lineup. He won't. He takes that and uses it for your own benefit. He's chipping away all these things that is not pleasing to God. It's just like Michelangelo when he was trying to do Moses, you know, the statue. When he saw that piece of rock, rough. I mean, you can look at it and you probably say, wow, what did he see on that thing? Because you and I cannot see anything, but he saw beyond the rock, see? And then he started chipping away what was not Moses. So Moses that was there all the time, which shows up. So God is chipping away to the ministries, chipping away all that is not pleasing to him. And sometimes we make mistakes, but all that will teach us something. You know, the circumstances and situation and the things that we go through is to teach us. You know, chipping away. We don't need this. We don't need this. And one of these days, if it takes enough chipping out of me, you're going to see a new creation, a new figure. And that's what we want. Get to that point where we mature, that it's no longer the rough rock that used to be one before, but now it is a reflection of Christ in us. Amen. So that is his purpose. Let's read Palmer Worm, Locust Cankerworm and Caterpillar. Hey, he says, the palmer worm eats that off too, but God will restore its back to a true living spirit of God that don't communicate with saints and Saint Jude and Saint this and Saint Cecilia and these others and some of these saints. So what Brother Brown is saying, it's going to bring a people that we have a living spirit and he will communicate. It's a word they use, communicate with you. God communicates, he wants to communicate with each one of you. Okay? So he says, and the saint, it will be the spirit of Jesus Christ that will come back and manifest himself and do the very same things. That's when you're getting closer to maturity. You don't have to wait to get there to then, oh, I'm Christ-like. You better be Christ-like here to do whatever he did. You got to get to that measurement. That's the measurement that we need to get to. He says, I will restore, said the Lord, and I will thank God today upon the church branch up, you know, start coming up. Brother Brian's talking about the tree, you know, that he saw in Phoenix, that somebody put a lot of other, you know, what you call it? Yes, graph, well, whatever. And then with different fruits, but if that tree will put another branch, it will be the real one. So he's saying, branch up here, you know, start coming up. There's a little life begin to slipping up through there. It is manifesting himself. Who? Christ. So every time you grow, and every time you push, and you push, and every time you come, and every time things happen, you know what you're doing? It's a little bit of Christ. Not you. You're going away. See, just a little bit of him. A little bit of him. A little bit of him. Until we grow to perfection, to maturity, and no longer is you. I will love that day when God don't have to push me anymore. Because when I'm done, there's no more pushing. And I will know it. Because I will know I'm gone. You don't think I'm going to think I'm gone? I've been living with this guy for long enough, 70-some years. You don't think I'm going to notice when he's gone? This is my trouble. I have to drag this guy everywhere I go. And I have to tell him to shut up. I'm in church now. It's my time. And he gives me a hard time 5 days a week. Well, now it's time to sit, shut up. I want to have some fun. But one of these days, I won't have to do that, brother. You know? One of these days, it's going to come the fully, you know, manifestation of God in my life, in your life. And you're going to feel the last. You done. I'm done. That is what we're looking for. And after that, the rapture. We have to be rapture ready. Not after, don't make any sense. It's before. Christ has to be manifested in your life before. Because God said he would display that little bride. He says, there is with the manifesting himself. God will restore the full church back to his right stature. Again, before what? The coming of the Lord. Not before, not after, before the coming of the Lord. So that's what I come to church. That's what I, you know, trying to be obedient to the word of God, trying to my best. I made mistakes, but I'm trying. You know, I told you a while ago, don't try, just do it. Like Nike, don't try, do it. You know, that's what their slogan is. Just do it, because God is there to help you, to bring it forward. Stop trying. Stop. Either it's there or it's not there. You don't have to. Stop trying. If you don't learn nothing else, stop trying today. Let it happen. If it's there, it has to happen. How can you stop it? But that is the problem. We limit God. God has no limitation. And if there's any limitation, it's the one that you're putting in God. If you say you can't, then you can't. But God can. God is not limited. You cannot limit his God. So if you are limited in your life and you cannot have what you want, that's not God's fault. That is not the preacher. That is not the church. That is your own fault, because you are putting limitations in God. And God has no limitation. When are you going to learn that? Stop worrying about it. He said it, it's going to get done. Amen. The only one that can limit his work in your life is when you said, I don't know if I can do that. But it's you that limit God. We don't want to limit God at all. We want God to have his way in our lives and finish the work that he started. And stay out of the way, because you are the factor that limits God, you, your thinking, your thought. Yeah, I need to do this. The Bible said, but. Oh, my goodness. Leave the but outside somewhere. Yeah, don't go over there. Don't even think that. Dude, that's not what I said. Anyway, what happened? So, before the coming of the Lord. See, now Ephesians 4:30. Let's begin our little teaching. Because you need to know how this is going to happen. See, I'm going to tell you the idea that God had in his mind, how he was going to implement the idea, and how he was going to bring it to fruition. Okay, so Ephesians 4:30, for we are members of his body. Who body? His body. He says, of his flesh and of his what? Bones. So I want to look at the similarities of the natural body and the spiritual body so we can get some answers at least. And that's what we had to do. Brother Branham did the same thing. He typed things. Looked at the physical, looked at the natural, and typed it to the spiritual. That's what I'm going to do. Let's look at the similarities so we can get how God is going to perform this work in us. So it says, let me keep, time goes so fast. It says, so members of one body. So the physical body has five major channels or five major organs, because I don't want to discuss all of them because I don't know all of them, but at least five major organs. The brain, okay? Then you have the heart, your lungs, your liver, your stomach, your liver, and your intestines. That's five. And if I went over five, because stomach and intestine is the same thing anyway, five. Those are the major components of. And the more vital one and more important than any of those is your brain. Because if you don't have a brain, you're dead. You know, some of us sometimes we come to church kind of dead. But that is okay. That is okay. You have to die to yourself anyway. Amen. That's right. So if you have brain dead, that's good. God can do something for you. It's when your brain starts thinking, that's where you get in trouble. And you start reasoning. That's why you're in trouble, so let it be dead. So without a brain, you just cannot live. You know, you just a vegetable. You know, sometimes in the hospital, people go in comas because the function, the brain probably has limited function. Maybe it's still sending a signal to the heart to pump. Maybe that's it, minimum things like that. But nothing else moves. There's no signals going nowhere. There's no transmissions. There's no communication. Just there. You know? So the brain is the battle. It is an organ in the body. And so it is in the spiritual body. Because the brain of the whole creation and the brain of everything, the intelligence behind everything is God. God is the brain. God sets everything in motion from the beginning to the end. He's in all, through all, for all. Amen. So without God, we're dead. Yeah. I mean, spiritually, we are dead. Yeah. And if you have half of a God, you're still dead. Because God don't do halfway things. So it is important to understand that he's the brain of the entire operation. He made the plan of redemption. He will schedule it and he will bring it to pass. Amen. He is the brain. He wrote the drama. He was the director. He was the composer. He was everything. And then what? He now is directing the entire orchestra. But you have to let go and let God. Amen. See? Because he is the brain of the entire operation. So when we come to church, we need to understand that we have nothing to do in this thing. In fact, do like I supposed to do. I had to, take myself, throw myself out of me and let God have his way. Because if that is not going to work. See, God wants to talk to you. God wants to communicate with you. But I got to be out of the way. Because we're going to see that I am a channel. That's all I am. I'm a channel. See? God speaks to me through his inspiration. I study. I meditated. I pray. I did everything that I knew how to do mechanically. When I come to the pulpit, my channel is open now to receive an inspiration. Because that is what you need. You don't need what I read and what I learned. You need to know. You need to hear from him straight. Now listen to me. He will communicate through me because you are listening. It's my voice, but I'm open for him to bring his word through me or whatever he wants to do tonight. But you got to tune. He's the sender, but you are the receiver. And I'm just transmitting. I need to stay out of my way. I don't want to even be part of touching anything. It has to come true to you. However, you need to operate the gift. I don't operate the gift. In fact, I'm trying my best that the gift will operate me. But you need to operate not me, but the gift that God put in me. See? Because God wants to talk to you tonight. And the only way he can talk to you is that I step aside, let his inspiration come through, and then you pick it up. And then he will reveal to you what you need to do with that. That is what we come to church. That is how we mature. First, communication. Straight. It is not me. It's not Brother Doug. It's not the church. It is God. Come, time to talk to you tonight. I'm not the God. He is God. And he's the brain of all this operation. Because he knows exactly what he made you, what he wants to do with you, how he wants. I don't know. But he will. And he will let you know. Through his revelation or his own word, he will speak to you and tell you exactly what he wants you to do. See, so this is the battle, the brain. Now, again, the Bible said, faith without work is what? Dead. Same thing, the brain, a body without a brain is what? Dead. So if we are not following God, if we're not having the full obedience to God, if we're not doing his will in heaven or is in earth, we are what? Dead to the work of God. God cannot use me because he cannot talk to me. See? What good it is to come to church if you cannot hear from God. You don't want to hear from me. You want to hear from God tonight because he's going to bring his plan to fruition. Not me. I'm just a part of the plan. And I'm standing here so he can channel the word to you. So it's not an easy responsibility to stand over here behind this pulpit. Because you have to keep yourself out all the time. No my idea, no my suggestion, no my thoughts, but his. But his. So, now, it's a body. The body also have five major components, the spiritual body. It says, there's one body on Ephesians 4:4, one spirit, okay, that you call in hope of your calling. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, and one God that is all over all. That is the brain of the whole operation. Amen. But you have some other parts in the spiritual body that they need to be there in order for the body to function the way it's supposed to function when we come to church, to function the way the church is called to function. Now, one body, not two bodies, not three bodies. This is not love divine bodies or Brother Doug body or my body. It's his body. It's Christ's body, just one body. And we all belong to that one. It's the mystical body of Christ. Now, some people have their own bodies. You know how Brother Doug says that when build the ark, Enoch, build the ark, huh? It was Enoch, okay, I was right. I'm just testing you, make sure you know what I'm talking about. When Enoch built the ark, were some other people that built other boats, you know? Oh, they drowned anyway, but, and that is the problem, you know? There's only one body. You know, and the way you get into the body is through says it's one spirit. Amen. One spirit to get you into the body. And that is the Holy Spirit. He says, one body, one spirit. You know, I don't care. Denominations are there and people have a form of a God, see? A form of a brain. You know, this is our brain and this is how it's going to function. Well, sorry, God is not in that. God, either you're going to tell God what to do. Little puny, you know, insignificant box that we are, piece of mold of sand. Now we're going to tell God, this is how the operation is going to run. That's what happened to the Laodicea. We are rich. We have need of nothing. And what happened? With that attitude, where was God at? Outside. That's what that attitude will bring. We put God out of the system completely that we claim. One body, one spirit, it says, and one Lord. See? A Lord, you know, he's one authority only. Lord has, it's a king. It's an, it has authority over teams, you know. So there's only one that can have authority over you and me, and that is the Holy Spirit, that's God. Man should not have authority, Brother Brown said, over another man, but the what? But the Holy Ghost. In order for this to function, it has to be that way. Because God don't share his glory with nobody, and God going to share his children with somebody else to tell him how to raise them. No, it has to be God and God only. One Spirit, one Lord. And that's the problem in the state that we're living, people rejecting authority. Yes. Right. And there's only one authority and one Lord, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It says, and one faith, again, what faith is that? The faith of Jesus Christ. Not our faith, but the faith that came down. You know, Jude says, you know, contend for that faith. What faith is that? The one that the fathers, the apostolic fathers, the same faith that brought about, you know, Pentecost. You know, it was not the apostles, like somebody thinks, you know, it is the acts of the apostles. It wasn't the acts of the apostles. You know, that's what they said that, you know, Pentecost was, or the book of Acts. But it wasn't the acts of the apostles. That was the acts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, the apostles already had their time when they were with Jesus. They got trained. They got taught, you know. And they become part of the framework of the church when they get there. We get there in a minute. So that is, and the last one I said is God. God is the brain of everything. Faith and one baptism. Baptism has to be deal with word, the word that cleans you, the word that keep you and cleans you and purify you. Okay? There's only one word. The word is the water, you know, that we die and a new creature comes up. That's it. Not two, not a different one. This is not a conforming to something. This is a transformation. It has to be a complete transformation. So it's no longer you, but it's him now. See, we are not conforming. Here we are not coming to church to conform, you know, to church regulations and rules and discipline. No, we come here because we want to be transformed to his image. I don't want to conform. I want to be transformed. I don't want to conform to the world. The world likes you to conform to their ideas. Media. The media has a lot of ideas about what God is, what religion is, what Christianity is. But the God is outside. The brain, the intelligence, the most vital organ. But you need to still have the other ones. So, because God wants to communicate with you, the brains become the control center. See, you that have a computer, you know that your computer have a CPU, a control power unit. You guys are engineers, you know what I'm talking about. And you take that one out, and you will not be able to work because that is what controls all the thing that goes in and out, and destruction goes through that control center. Not exactly where it's supposed to go, where it's supposed to go, and what's supposed to do. And it routes all the typing that you do and all the instruction you give goes to the control center. It's encoded and encode all these keys and you do all the work. So the same thing. God is in control and God is the one. It's the brain of the operation. So Ephesians 5:30. Now, again, the second part. For we are members of a body and of his flesh and bones. Now, let's talk about bones. I think I put it in black because I want to skip the flesh for a minute. What is the bones? What does the bone do in your body? It supports you. Actually, the bones is a framework. It's a structure that holds your body in position, that help you walk, that help you be stable, that help you to stand. In fact, the frame decides a lot of things. Depending on your frame, it decides if you're tall, short, this and that, indifferent. Okay, so the framework of the body, spiritually, you know, what is it? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and Brother Brown says, that the Holy Spirit is the framework of the church. It began at Pentecost. Now, man used to say that it was the infrastructure was the Apostles' Creed. That wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit. So in order for you to have the support that you need to begin with, you know, you need to have the Holy Ghost. You will not be able to stand without the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what supports your body. And it framed you and it shaped you in what you're supposed to be. Actually, the framework supports you. You know that what the bones do for you? Two things specifically besides supporting you and giving you shape and mold you and shape you. It also produces oxygen inside the marrow of the bone. It produces hemoglobins, the red one, oxygen. And you know what else it do? It produces the white cells for your immune system so you can be protected and you fight. That's why people that don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have a fight in this team, because you're already lost. Without the Holy Ghost, he cannot protect you. He give you the cells, the white cells that you need. So if anything comes in, sickness, Satan comes with all kind of things, he will protect you. See? Not only that, but life is in the red blood cells. So it is the Holy Spirit. The Word is life, truth and life. So he's the one that is keeping you, supporting you, and keeping you to stand in this Word. You, it's not you, but it's the Holy Spirit, the framework of the entire body. So we need to start with that to begin with. So the bones is the infrastructure, is the skeleton system that allows the body to move, you know, and give and shapes. It's okay. So this is a body move, but not by yourself. We have to have that the same. We have to have the Holy Spirit, because if not, you don't have a leg to stand. See? Because when the move is on, you better have the Holy Ghost. Because when he said it's time to move, you better have something that moves you. You know what happened? Brother Brown says, yeah, you're a bunch of jellyfish. You don't have a backbone. You don't stand for nothing, and you don't fall for nothing, or you fall for everything. See, that's why it's good to have a backbone, a frame, and that frame is the Holy Ghost. Because when the time comes and you go out there, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are open game for Satan. Because who's going to help you? Who's going to protect you? So the skeleton of the body, it is the framework. Brother Brown says in this position of the Seventh-day Churches, the revelation of Jesus Christ, I didn't write the whole thing, it's long. If they get the true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the church, the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. So what is the framework will do to a church, to an organization? A framework, it states the purpose and the direction and what we're going to do, the activities that we are going to do, and what it will be the outcome of all these things. Actually, the framework of the church tells me what the church is going to do. I know the framework of the Baptist. You tell me you're Baptist, I know your framework already. And I know what you believe, what you support, and what you like to do. And the Pentecostal, the same way. I know the framework, but let's forget about those. They're not a problem. What about in this message? How many frameworks you find? You know, that church has a different, it's about 8 tangents in this message. Everybody has a framework. The framework is the activities, the purpose, and the direction that church decided to go. If you believe in the return of the prophets, that's your framework. Everything that you will do points to that. If you believe in the white horse, or you believe in the plane, or in the tent, or you believe in the thunders, you know, I know what your framework is, because that's what they do. They take a doctrine, they take a dungeon, and they create a framework to support their doctrines. And when you go there, you know where you're going. You know where they're taking you. You know exactly the outcome that they're looking for. But see, if you don't have the Holy Ghost to begin with, How do you going to discern? The Bible says discern the framework. Okay? Some churches have a different framework. It's a controlling framework. You see? Tell you what to do, how to do it, who to marry, who to wait, where to eat, where to go, where to buy, when to smile, when not to smile. See here, you can smile freely. They tell you who to marry and all this. Because what? That's a framework. And if you can discern the framework, you know where you're going with that. And you know where they're going with that. There's only one framework. See? And that is the Holy Ghost. He's the one that the Holy Ghost, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit will come and do what? Teach you. He will take from him, from the brain. He's not going to speak nothing on himself. He said from the brain. He will communicate to you what he sees, what he hears, and he show you things that are to come. That's the framework that I want. Because that framework goes along with his will, with his word, with everything that God is doing in the body. So it behooves you to discern what framework you're under. Amen. And I'm not here to tell you, you know, what to do. That's, you need to discern. You know that discerning is a gift? So if you have one gift and one gift only, you better discern. And you cannot discern without the Holy Spirit, that is the one that controls the gift in the church. So, the body, the framework of the body, the skeleton, the system that supports this body is the Holy Ghost. And we know where we're going, we know who we are, what we are, and where we are going. Amen. See? Because if the word says it, I believe it. Right. If it not, I keep my mouth shut. But one thing is for sure, the Holy Spirit has to be in control. You cannot go against the control. You know, the Holy Spirit will say something. You contrive the Spirit every time that happens. That your will do not line up with his will. And you know that because if you're a son or daughter of God, you feel it. You know you know it's not right. You know you did wrong. Just ask God to forgive you and jump back. You know, in his care, the picture, the framework gives the picture and the pathway of where that framework wants to take you. See, and the intended outcome is in the framework. Now, you can look at the framework of this church. Listen, we're not Pentecostals, we are not Baptists. We don't have, the world has a framework. It says they have a form of what? Oh God, they had their own framework, but they denying the power, the framework, the real framework that is the Holy Spirit. They denying it. So the framework that they have is like the Laodicea. We got to that end, you know. Put that framework, put Christ out of their life. The ministry put Christ out of people. So if you came from a church that you just felt like you was bitter more than you was happy, it was no joy, it was no peace, it was nothing every time you didn't want to go to church because it was no sense to go to church. I'm not happy, I'm not peaceful, I'm not getting anything. Then you discern the framework. That framework will never take you to Christ. The Holy Ghost always points to the brain, to Christ. And he will never disappoint you, and he will never let you go. See? But when a man is in control, and he's our framework, if you do this, or you're out. But thank you. But that's the best thing you've done for me. Kick me out. Because now I'm happy. See? Before I wasn't. Your framework don't satisfy me. So, the framework. So Brother Brown says in Revelation chapter 4, says, now I heard a great teacher not long ago. He says, a great man, a fine man. I met him, shook his hand. He's a fine brother. Brother Brown never talked bad about anybody, even though they were bad. He never did that. Something that we need to learn. Okay? Said, but the act of the apostle was just the framework of the church. He says, oh, in other words, he had the framework out here somewhere. See? See, when the Acts of the Apostle was inside in the Gospels, see, it wasn't the framework of the Pentecostal, it was the framework of the Gospels. Jesus and the 12 apostles said the framework to hold all together and protect it. That's what the framework it do. Brother Bram is talking about the gospel and the apostles. John all the way to Luke, those four is the framework that brought about Pentecost, the church. See? But it wasn't the framework of the church. That was the framework of the apostles when they were in earth. Now, why I say it's the framework? Because the framework will protect, I told you. The framework will dictate everything that you need to know. Now, Luke and all this gospel, but the Brother is saying that was the framework, but not of the church. It was the framework that you, when you go to Revelation, the four beasts around the throne protecting the word. And the four beasts, Brother Branham pointed them out. They said, this is John, Luke, all the way to Luke. They were around the throne. It's the framework that protects the word until the Pentecost came. See, the same thing in our day. God protects his word. God follows his word. It will not fall. It will not come in vain because he protects his own word by the way he do to the Holy Spirit. See, that's the framework that protects it. So, the four beasts, the four gospel, and you see them in the throne protecting the word that was in the tabernacle. So that was Brother Brian's talking about. It was the framework, but not of the book of Acts. He says, when the Acts of the Apostles was inside, and the gospel are the framework to hold it together and protect it. See, what hold us together and protect us, it's our framework. And it's easy. It's the Holy Spirit. So our body starts with the brain that is God. Not a form of God. We don't have a form of God. It's God. And there's no three gods. That framework came from someplace else. That's not my framework. One God. Not two gods. Not three gods. One God. And it says, the gospels are the framework to hold together and protect. See how the mind of man can do anything. I thought the same thing if it wasn't for him. See? The mind of man. Why he say he can do anything? Because this is not God's ideas. This is man's ideas. Now, let me tell you where this came from. Man can do anything. Remember the book of Genesis, chapter 11, the Tower of Babel? They were in one accord, in one language. That's very important. It's very important because we only got one language. And if you and I speak the same language, the heavenly language, we should be united as one. They have one language. They have one culture. In this framework, we don't have three cultures. Well, I'm a Puerto Rican, and I'm from Spain, and I'm from Mexico, and I like it like this, and you like it like that. Listen, you might as well leave that out of the door. This is not about you, and you, and you, and me, and our culture. Oh, of course, I love my culture. I'm not going to give it up. I'm a product of my own culture, my own things. And I like my rice and beans, and you like your tacos, and you like your hamburgers, whatever. But this is not about food. Paul said this is not about food. This is about being in one mind, in one accord, speaking one language. And the only language that I know is the word of God. That's God's thoughts written. That's his language. And if you and I can speak the language, we become one. You know the time that we have differences? It's when you put your reasoning, you put your logic, and you put everything else in it. If you feel in friction with one another, you know what it is? You're not speaking the same language. You know when husbands and wives, when you start having friction and differences and arguments, it's because you got two ideas. You smile, huh? My wife and I, we try that every day. We're practicing to identify that in our lives so we don't do it again. But sometimes we don't agree. But you and I, we better agree in the Word of God, because that is the only language that is going to bring us together. We are going to say the same thing. We're going to speak the same thing. And we're going to look the same thing. Why the churches can come together? Why the body can come together? Because they're not speaking the same language. What else they did in those days? Same culture, same language, and the communication to do everything they had to do came from one source. One source. And it was easy because they're speaking the same language, the same culture. So it's easy for one man. See, man always like to put man in charge, like Saul, The people wanted a king. See, but that king wasn't speaking the same thing. You know the story. I don't want to take too much time. But I know one thing for sure. God says, there's nothing that these guys, they can do anything they want. Why? One mind, one source, one communications part, going down, one language, and one culture. There's only one culture between you and I, and that's God's culture. That's God's children's. There's no two or three. There's no Mexican. There's no Puerto Ricans. There's no Colombians, Spain. There's no Jew, and there's no Gentile. We just one body. See? That is built with you and me. So, if you don't tell me how good you are and how good your cultures are, then I don't tell you how good mine is. Because we will never come to an agreement. Because this is my makeup. That's how I'm wired up. I like my culture. I like my music. I like my food. And you like yours. And we will never come to agreement. Unless you do what I did. I marry a Mexican. But the Bible says, that you become one. So she likes all my food and I like all hers. You can do it that way. If we become one and we start liking each other's, fine. But if not, that's not what unites us. What unites us is that, remember, Brother Brown says, I thought the same thing wasn't for him. See? He says, which was wrote first, the book of Acts or the apostle? The apostle, Jesus, walked along doing work and predicting what would come. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four guards. See, the four guards come, and it was written, and he was writing everything they seen, they saw coming to pass, telling it just like it is. They wrote the gospel, how it was going to happen, what was going to take place. Then all at once they frame it. See? Around it. And here it comes. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the framework, all the guard works that protects the temple in Revelations. The throne. See? The Pentecostal blessings. So what Brother Brian is saying, the framework of the church is not the creed of the apostles. Like they said, it is the Holy Spirit. That's why their frame don't work today. You know that their frame cannot change you? I mean, they have a lot of entertainment, a lot of politics, a lot of programs, and you might be happy and you come out of there, rejoicing. But you know what? You just came out the way you went in, now it's even worse. Because that frame do not change you. The only way can change you is God. And it's only one framework that you can operate under that will change you. And that is His Word, the Holy Spirit. I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. I don't want to be conformed and be happy. And I love good music. And we have good music. See? Because I cannot play. So what we criticize somebody that can play. When I play more than them, then I can criticize, but I can never play more better than they do. Second, I cannot sing. So, hey, they're doing a better job than I'm doing. See, that's what God gave him the gift. The fifth seal. Brother Brown says, when the act of the apostle is very foundation of it. Not the framework, the foundation. See, the apostle was the foundation. The Bible says so. Foundation of God. It built upon the doctrine of the apostles, right? Christ, the head, the cornerstone. So Revelation chapter 3 says, and you know this one, verse 16, I know thy work, that thou art neither cold nor hot. It would thou were that you were cold or hot. See, their framework don't support even a good balance anyway, because they're either in one stream or in the other stream. Either hot and cold, I prefer that you to be hot anyway. But see, I will vomit you. The framework produces that. Producer got to detest what they're doing. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. That is the result of that kind of a framework, man's framework. Matthew 23:27. Woe unto you, says scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, says, for you are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful. Yeah, beautiful service, beautiful temples, beautiful education. Everybody's educated. Everything looks good. But it says, but are we full of dead man's bones? Bones, the framework is dead. It will never produce Jesus Christ in their life. And that's what we need to discern. If you can discern the framework, see, that is working in the infrastructure of the church, see, then you can tell where you're going, where they're trying to take you. But I'm glad that, you know, I'm happy where I am. I'm happy to be under this ministry. I know where this ministry is going. I know the framework of this ministry. Because I got the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. You don't have nobody, no need for no one to teach you. Because my spirit that is in me, oh God, teaches your spirit. See, I don't have to have authority. The spirit that is in me, the spirit that is in you, the Holy Spirit is the one that have authority. And he will teach you. I stand here, I open my channel, I let the spirit of God, by inspiration, talk to you. Your spirit caps it, takes it, God gives him a revelation, and it's not me. And I didn't even know, I'm not aware what God is doing in your life. It's not for me, it don't even go to my brain. That's the thing. But every time we get out of our note, it's you pulling from the gift. Because you came because you want something. You need something. You want to get closer. And you should not never let this service become common. Because every service is to take you a step closer. A step closer. If you come with the right mental attitude and expecting the right thing, God will fulfill that. He will give you exceedingly beyond of what you think and what you think you came to do. But if you go with the right attitude, with the right mental attitude, he will exceed your expectation when you come to that door. Amen. See, because God wants you closer, closer, closer. And that is this framework of this ministry, is to bring you closer, and the gifts just as well. Okay, so reject the king. Can you see the discrepancy, the difference? Can you see the cunningness of the devil can work in a human being instead of yielding himself or herself to the Holy Ghost? Is listen to what that says the Lord for a pure life. I'm glad that this message will produce a pure life. If this message will not produce that, I'm going to be disappointed. But that's what I want. I want a pure life. Amen. It says it will produce a pure life. And what else? An undefiled what? Character. There's only one character. And that is the character of God. When you come to this church, you got two things you got to think about it. You want to be holy, without blemish. I already spoke that. And also you are gaining character. That's why we come to church, to gain character, to equip you with the word so you can start gaining character. It says the character for a different life, not this one. We're getting ready for a different life, it says. A peculiar people, holy nation, acting people. They have rather coincided with the word, with the world, coincide with the world, and act like the world, and go to some church to say that it's all right, just like that. See, that's what that framework will do. It don't conform to God's word; it conform to the world. Now, and that's what happened to the Laodicean age. This is 17, Revelation 3:17, because thou say, I am rich, I am increasing good, I have need of nothing. See, yeah, we don't need that stuff. You can keep that framework. Listen, my friend, if you think I'm crazy, leave me alone. I just want that one. You can keep what you got. That's what I want. Because I know that is going to produce the life that I want. I'm tired of my life. I want his life in me. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I want to have his character. See? And when you get there, he can trust you with what? With the word. Not before. Then you get a checkbook. You mature. You adopt it. You run the business. Here, son. You arrive. But that happens here. Not that way. Here's where we learn how to rule. So when we get there, we can rule. You're not going to go there and say, okay, I need everything that I need to know. Well, they preached to you for 40 years. Where were you at? I don't know. My brain was in Walmart and my body was here. You better focus and pay attention because you're going to need all this. But Brother Ortiz never taught us about that. Oh, rewind, play. Brother Doug, oh, rewind, play. Where were you? Oh, I was there, but my brain was kind of comatose or something. I don't know. Says, a counsel thee to buy from me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and the same shame of thy neck, and that the same shame of thy nakedness do not appear. If you don't have the word of God, you're naked. Period. You know. How is that? Well, they were naked at the beginning, and they didn't know it because they were clothed with holiness. They didn't see nothing wrong. Innocent. That's what you and I need to go. When you look at your brother and your sister, it should be nothing wrong you look at. You know? You do it with your wife, you know, husbands. Your wife cannot make a mistake. And your husband don't make mistakes. We just sometimes we drift out of the path a little bit, but you know, but when somebody asks you, what about your husband? Oh, he's the best husband ever. In fact, it's perfect. You want a perfect husband? You better start confessing that. You want a good wife? You better confess that. Oh, my wife, I go home, it's a 7-course meal, I mean. And then after that, it's the candles and the smell and the music. If that's what you want, you better start confessing it. So you can walk into that. Then you said, but, no, it will never happen, see? Because you have to believe. Nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eyes soft, that thou might see. See? So we got two systems, two frameworks, two systems, two forms, two bodies, two frameworks, two brains, two different brains. There's only one brain, but they have their own brains. They have their own language. They speak different things that sometimes I don't even understand. Sometimes they're trying to explain me maybe the return of the prophet or Brother Brown needs to come back. And I said, well, give me the framework that supports that idea. I'm not stupid. Just give me everything. In fact, tell me what it is so I'll see if I can understand. See? Oh, well, you need to come to church so you can hear my pastor. They don't even know what they believe, those guys. You have to talk to the pastor? I mean, and that's how you grow? Must be a one-man rapture because he's the only one that knows all the answers. You better know the answers. It says Ephesians, then Ephesians 5:30, I'm trying to see if I can finish. For we are members of one body and flesh. Now, the flesh, anything that is between the bone and the skin is flesh. Everything that is there, the heart, the intestines, the bones, the cartilage, everything else, you know, your pancreas, whatever. That's all the flesh. So you need a good framework. Your life needs a good support. And that's why we are here, to give support. You know? And then you need also a brain. Don't be like that. Which one was they had no brain? I wanted a brain out there in the land of Oz. The guy with the straw, the straw man? He wanted a brain? I don't blame him. I like to do away with my brain and have his brain. That's what I'm doing, trying to lose my mind and have his mind. Yeah, my mind never has produced anything but pain in my life. Every decision that I made. You know? So he says, the flesh is anything that is between the bones and the flesh and the skin, everything. So here, so we have a good support, a good frame. We got a good brain. Now who's going to do the work? Who's going to do the pastor? It's going to move this body up to perfection. This is what he says. I'm trying to hurry up. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. But in then 7, I jump to say, but unto every one of us, okay, the fivefold ministry, but now everybody else, okay, everybody else. He says, not everybody can be a pastor, not everybody can be a prophet, but to everybody else, he says, he gave you, and according to him, a measure of a gift in Christ. So each one of you, you have a gift, you have a duty, you have a responsibility, you have something you need to perform in this body. It's not the pastor, it's not the deacons, they are not trustees. You have a gift and that is needed in order to move this body. You know that this body, the brain, has 1 trillion neurons? And you know, attached to the end of all those neurons, there's another 10. I lost count then, I don't know. So you know that that is how the brain communicates to your body, through this, to the nerve system, to these neurons. There's a lot of activity going in there, you know, a lot of things. So what good it is to have a brain and pay nobody to do the work. So we all have a measure of the gift of Christ. For what? For the perfecting of the same, for the work of the ministry, and to edify the body of Christ. See? Till it comes, till there's no way that you said you don't. Okay, let's say that you said you don't and you are mature. But if that don't bring unity in the body, that's just you. It takes all of us to come to maturity. Until when we come to maturity, it says, till we all come, till. Not until you all are in to that level, there's no capstone to bring the body. See? So it takes all of us to do our part, and I'm going to show you what part will be. Now, like I said, everybody cannot be the same part, but you have a part to play in this church. This is not to come and sit down and enjoy a good service and let somebody else do all the work. There's a work that you need to do. I don't care how small or how big, musicians, deacons, trust, I don't know, some school teachers are cleaning the church. That you might think that that's insignificant. But how many of you like to come and, to a clean church? Well, if you don't, I know how your house is going to look when I go and visit. And it's very significant to take the trash out. I think I am better than that. Somebody else do it. Well, the way up is down. If you think you are the main guy, the genius, the one that have everything, then make yourself what? Nothing, he says. It's because the way up is not from the up, it's from the down up. So if you think you know it all, then act like you don't know anything. So somebody else can have a chance to tell you what they think. You know? Let this sink in. There's no big and there's no more. This is just us. All of us. And it's not one better than the other one. I don't care if you got the brains and I'm the toe. It just doesn't matter. Without my toe, you're going to fall anyway. Because the toe is what gives balance to your body. You take your toes and you're going to fall. Then when you fall, you're going to call me. And I'm going to say, when you apologize, I will put myself back in you. In the meantime, you stay there. See how bad you are now. Because you need my toes. Maybe insignificant, and maybe I'm dragging dust, and I'm kicking the corner of the bed, and it hurts, but that's all right. Without me, you ain't have no balance. Can you imagine the whole body's eyes and ears and nose? That would look weird, look like an alien guy that came from some other planet. Anyway, I'm getting away from me. So, till we come to the unity. Well, brother, it's been preaching, brother pastor, and all this adoption and full time and perfection and the gift he preached on all these things. If that don't bring you to maturity, then he had done nothing. He just entertained you. But I don't think that's the type of Christian that you are. Till we come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we henceforth not be tossed around, going every wind of doctrine. I don't like this church. I'm going to, toss around everywhere. So you be stable. See? Amen. This friend will keep you stable. Amen. And if something happens that you don't agree, you still keep you stable. He says, doctrine, every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby lies deceived, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supply. You got to supply something to this body, because the brain sends a signal to every organ, but every organ has an instruction. See? Every cell, that is the smallest part, every cell in the body has an instruction. In fact, sometimes your glands, like here, this gland, we release certain hormones for certain things, for digestion, for enzymes. Some of the reactions are chemically, some of them they're electrically in your brain. But nevertheless, a T cell, the other day I went to took a blood test, and my doctor says, there's certain hormones that are not present in the blood. And I said, where do they come from? Oh, from your, generated by your, what is it?
Thyroid.
And what is for? Well, the T cells is generated by your thyroid to go to another cell and tell them what they need to do, when they need to do it, during the digestion. I mean, it's complicated. I said, okay, I understand. That's simple enough. So what are you going to do? Well, since you cannot produce it, we're going to have to give you a pill, the hormones, so they'll be present when you need them, because you need someone to go and tell that cell to do what it needs to do. But that is the Holy Ghost in our lives. The brains, send a signal, and it sends the Holy Ghost. Brother Carver, you need to do this. Brother, you need to do that. But it's not me or Brother Doug or Andy telling you what to do. We're not here to tell you what to do. That is a job of the Holy Ghost. But it starts, it's a signal that comes out. As a body, we should be listening at those signals. Let me move on. It says, so how the body's going to get unified? Okay? Now let me jump to this one. I have heard now, but now I see. This is probably the first time I preach this year, right? And I might not preach again this year, so I'll give it to you today. I warn you already. But you might not see me again until another 6 months, so I make sure that this will last you 6 months. 6 hours, yeah. Okay. He had a channel of communication to God. Who? Talking about Job. Okay? Or Hob or Job, whatever you want to call him. In Spanish and English. Spanish I speak. He had a channel of communication to God. That he to God by inspiration. Okay? He had a way of moving himself out. That's what we are all we like to do. Listen, if God don't speak to you concerning anything, you better be still. If you don't have a word from God to talk to your brother and sister, you're concerned about something, and if you don't have a word of God, do not go. You're going to make things worse. But when God speaks to you, you have all confidence, because when you talk to your sister and your brother, they're going to know that you, in no way you could have known that you told her, but God knows your heart, knows her heart, and when you go and talk to her, that's from God, because how did you know that? See? He said, He had a way of moving himself out. We need to do that. And letting God move in. Okay? Get yourself out of the way and let God move in. Said, and he knows he was justified. See, he was a gift. You are a gift. We are a gift to each other. And that gift is supposed to finish the work. God, that's using you and me so the work gets done in this body. That's the only hands he got. That's the only mouth. That's the only leg. You and me. Who is going to do the work? You and me. Through the gift. He says, that was a divine gift. That was all the divine gifts are. To serve God, people with it. So when you come to church, you have a gift to serve the body, not to serve yourself. You don't use the gift. You let the gift use you. You let God operate the gift in your life. You're not here to operate the gift, but let the gift take a hold of you. And God will start speaking to you, and then you can be a service to the bride. He says, and not was just a, it was a gift. It was a gift for the people, not for job, not for people. That was all divine gift are to serve God people with. Everybody not ordered to be a prophet. You're not ordered to pray for the sick, or you are not to be a pastor, or maybe, but it is a channel that God has opened to them. The brain communicates with the body through the channels. I am a channel. That's all I am. God wants to talk to you today, so I'm just a channel. I'm just getting to send out of my way so God can talk to you. Are you going to receive it? Well, it says, everybody not ordered to be prophets, blah, blah, blah. All them not ordered to be pastor, blah, blah. It says, but the gifts are just a what? A channel. And if God is in it, it will work out. But if it's just you, your flesh, without a word from God, you cannot become a channel. That's why we have so much in difference and fights and in the body. Because we're trying to do it ourselves. If God do not speak to you concerning anything, if you have a gift, just until. That's what Job did. Listen what he says. He says, and all of you not, it's not ordered to be praying for the sick, all of them not ordered to be pastor and so forth, but a channel to God has opened to them, and is we and it and is as we had seen this morning in the lesson, one man has no business debating in the next man's channel. Don't tell me what to do. I already have someone that tells me what to do. But brother, I don't think you have that gift. How do you know? Who died and make you a God now? Don't go around criticizing other people. But I don't think brother so-and-so had that gift. Who are you to judge? Oh, what is your gift anyway? Oh, my gift is to find the non-gift. Okay. I don't see that in the word. My gift is to strengthen out so-and-so. Oh, yeah. That those two guys that came trying to strain out everybody, that's not a gift. You know, you cannot be fooled. I mean, you have the Holy Ghost. You cannot be deceived. I give it to you. The devil will try his best, but he can't deceive you. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will not allow that. He says, but in a channel that God has opened to them, and if we had this morning in a lesson that one man has no business debating in another men's channel. Well, if you're not a preacher, don't try it. And if you're a preacher, don't copy another preacher. If you cannot have your own channel and your own source and your own inspiration, you're in the wrong business. I'm not here to see if I'm acceptable to you or to Brother Doug or anybody. I'm here to be acceptable to God. Yeah. I want to open myself to God. He's the one that called. He's the one that put me here. He's the one that, and I understand that I'm just nobody. But what? A channel. And if I can get out of the way, he can do his job. And we had this morning, let's just say, one man no handle business. No matter, brother doctors about this. How much it seemed, how well, how many was at the meeting this morning. Okay, he was talking about something else in the morning. Job was the prophet in that day. Now, only thing God has done to Job, see, said, one, always give him a wisdom and his word and inspiration. That's what he gets. Word, wisdom, inspiration. He could get, but he couldn't get no inspiration. You know what he did? He saw God. Why? Why? He cursed the day he was born. Why you do this to me? Why? Why you take the family? What? See? But he never cursed God. He complained. If you're going to complain and you're going to make excuses, go ahead. Let him out. Tell God all your excuses and complain to God. See? But never. Say he never cursed and he waited. Even in all that, he waited on God. Because he knew he had no inspiration yet. If you don't have any inspiration, don't try to make up something. Well, I'm going to this and this. I think the reason is this, this, and this. You're wrong. If God don't tell you what it is, leave it alone until. Stay there until God give you. You know what the problem? We try to fix things. You know, bad relationship, and we try to fix one another. You know, but I think that this is the way you should be. And I think this is the way you should be. I'll tell you what, you know, young people, if you're going to get married, make sure that before you marry, at least, Brother Barnes said, you have the Holy, each one have the Holy Ghost. Because you have no chance. Because it's, she said, he said, and they start reasoning. But start with that. And let God, you know, let God move in your home, in your life. You know, get out of the way. See, now you say, it said, now God has done the job. Says what? Okay, but he knows he did all the mechanics, and you have done all the mechanics. You come to church, you do your tithing, you pray, you do this, you sing, you praise the Lord, you do everything. And things still happen to good people. But Job says, okay, I've done everything that God required from me, but I don't have an inspiration why this is happening to me yet. So I might as well just, he complained, but he waited. He was not going to take any decision until. He knew already too much. But do whatever mechanically you can do. Don't quit coming to church because you're going through a situation. And you know, the best place to be is in church anyway. Oh, I don't say that God cannot speak to you at home. But you have a better chance for God to speak to you here because there's more of us than you are there at home by yourself in a closet. Amen. At least we can help each other, create an atmosphere. So God can start inspiring you, and you finally, the pastor says something and something clicks in you, and you're done. He says, what always gives him wisdom and inspiration, but see, he says, he had offered the burning offering. He had done everything he knows to do was right. But he couldn't get a word from God. Never, never move. Never open your mouth. Never do nothing until you have a word from God.
Yeah, right.
The body needs to move that way because I cannot move with your word. You cannot move with my thoughts, my ideas. But if God puts it in your heart, then we can move. Job said, I know what's going on, I know, but you don't keep coming to church. But things are not getting better, keep coming to church. Because one of these days, you continue being faithful, God is going to speak to you. God is responsible and God to speak to you. But God wants to say, no, God wants a test. Are you going to be faithful? Even in the circumstances you find yourself, are you going to be faithful? Wait until you get a word from the throne of God. Maybe you get it through the pastor. He comes to the channel and goes to you, and you say, "Wow, I get it. I'm healed now." Say, not everything knows what was right, but everything. But he could not get away from God, but the devil couldn't move him. So even though he couldn't get an inspiration from God, why this is happening to me? But at the same token, he would not let the devil move him out of his position.
Yeah.
Oh, the position don't look good. Okay, he's sitting in the ashes, sitting down and scratching and boils and everything, but he wouldn't move. Sometimes he gets miserable, sometimes things turn out to be ugly, but don't let the devil, because that's what he likes to take this opportunity to move you. Don't move. He said, now there you are, when you are prayed for. You don't have to run back and to the line or go to somebody else to pray for you. When you know you've done exactly what God told you to do, see, then wait. Wait that for that channel of inspiration to open to you. I don't care how long it takes. Those sisters got prayed in church and they went home, but the Holy Spirit, the angel was going through their neighborhood. You don't know when, but you believe. And then you wait. Hermana, you have to wait. Your words, my words don't mean anything if they are not inspired by God in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. If God inspired you, it will be 180 degrees from what you thought it was to begin with. Let's let God talk to us. He says, when you know you have done exactly everything, see, and then wait for that channel of inspiration to open up to you. And now I am healed. When it drops in there, then it is over. You don't need to be prayed. No prayer line. You don't need nothing else. It is over. It's being revealed to you. So, why don't people do that? They run from church to church, from pastor to pastor, from minister to minister. Oh, I love that brother when he comes to town. I want to get prayed by him. Why? They don't have a channel. They don't have an inspiration. They don't even know what God wants with their life and what God wants to do for them. Now I need to hurry up. Now notice, Job needed a channel of inspiration. You need a channel of inspiration. When you come to church, I will open my channel. You need to open your channel of inspiration. If you want to receive from God, you have to open your channel of inspiration. You have to have the right attitude to sit down there and open. Maybe you don't like the way I look. Maybe I'm ugly. Maybe I don't speak right. But you must open the channel because God can use anybody. It is your attitude to open the channel so God can speak through you, through me. Now, notice, a channel of inspiration, he had it open. See, keep it open. Come to church. With expectation, keep it open that God is going to talk to you today, whatever you have need. But be open. Don't be close-minded. It's Brother Eli again. Okay. It says, notice, needed a channel of inspiration. He had it open. He had channel communication with God. The brain. Our brain is him. Our source is God. Whatever you have to say, whatever you imagine, whatever your thought is, I don't want him. And you don't want mine, and I don't want mine, neither. But I want his thoughts, I want his idea, I want his will, I want his word coming through a channel. He said, now notice, says, Job needed a channel of inspiration. He had it open. You know what? If you come to church and you find yourself in the worst situation of your life, get down, pray. Open yourself. God, speak to me. Speak to me. And you do that until God had to speak to you. But don't start making excuses. I don't start reasoning. I'm making logic. That is your own mind. But this is his fault. That is my fault. No. If you don't know what's happening, even if it was your fault and you don't know what to do, get down. Seek God and wait until God starts speaking to you. And then he will tell you what to do. And then most of the time he make you do what you didn't want to do to begin with. That's why sometimes we don't even look for God, because he's going to tell us this is what you need to do. But I don't want to go back. But you're going back. Okay? He says, he had a way of moving himself out and let the world God move in. Notice how they come to consult him from the east, from the west, people looking for him because they knew him. See, Job, he was truth. They know that man told the truth because what he prophesied, what happened, people come to him everywhere. You know, you want people to come to you and ask you opinions or what God says, that people can see that you're trustworthy. But only talk when he talks and don't talk when he keep your mouth shut. Because if it's God speaking through you, through one of your sisters and brother, God has to bring it to pass. And the more it happens to you, they start looking at, you know, my brother Doug, I don't know, but he's a true Christian. I mean, every time I go into him, he has a word of encouragement for me. He's never failed. So you want to be known by someone that tells the truth And he always, God will back it up, see? And that was Job. Okay, I'm done, almost there. Okay, I want to summarize now. Ephesians 5:23. Now I'm out of time already. For the husband is the head of the wife. Even Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Brother Branham said, notice, harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first shown to him. If he, that was him, what about you? Open your channel. Don't do nothing until God showed to you or speak to you. Maturity. We're talking about maturity. We're not talking about being children tossed around because our feelings, our emotions, our reason. Grown. Say, notice, harmony. See, when we are in that stage, we get into it. There has to be harmony in the body. If it's not, something is not right. He says, show him the fruit to the Father. John 19. This harmony is now exists between the groom and the bride. She showed her his word of life. She receives it. See, he communicates. She receives it. And she never what? Doubts it. There's nothing can harm her, not even death. For if she is the seed be planted, the water will rise up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride. See? As Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. See? He knows what to do with the word. Not you. He knows what to. The word is in you. But you have to wait for the inspiration what to do with that word. See? When we're trying to put us ahead, you know, of the wagon, we never get ahead of God. Let's wait on God. It says, the bride has the mind of Christ, know what he wants. We got the brain. We got the mind of Christ. We got the word. Now let's wait until he starts talking to us. Don't do anything. Don't even move. See, she performed the command of the word in his name, for she has, that said the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. See? The Spirit in the beginning, it brewed, it made love, and the word came forward, the Spirit gave life. See? The word is quickened by the Spirit. Not by you, by the Spirit. And if the Spirit gives it from, then it will come to pass. It comes to pass like a seed that is planted in water, and it comes to full harvest. That's the purpose. Okay, I'm going to stop here because I already took enough of your time. So, you can stand. So, and I will finish with a few remarks. Stand. So, the wife and the husband. You are the wife. We are the wife. And he's the husband. And we submit to the husband, right? He's our authority, you know? He is the one that gave the Spirit, gave the word, and then we know what to do with that. Whatever he says, I do. No more and no less. Now, I'm going to finish by saying this, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but let's take the sample, the natural sample. You have a wife, and your wife supposed to be, the Bible says, wife submit to what? Like Christ, that the church submits to what? To the husband. So what about if that is the sample? Now, if a wife submit to Christ, submit to God, she will also have to submit to husband. You cannot have it both ways. But it said, husband, what? Love your wife. And if your wife is loving you, then you have no reason why not to submit. If not, then there's a problem. Let's work it out. But this is what I want to say. This is the concept right here. The Bible said, if you said that you love God that you have not seen, but if you hate your brother, you're a liar. Wife, if you said that you submit to God, you come to church, you pray, you worship, you said, I love God, and God loved me, and if you don't submit to husband, you're lying. Same principle. So what I'm saying is, and I don't think that we have no bossy wives around here, but, you know, that one control in the house, and one control of the family, one control of everything, that is not submission. Because you said, well, I submit to God. But you submit to God, then you submit to husband. Because that is the concept here. So all I'm trying to say is, if you are the bride of Jesus Christ, he's the husband, and you tell me I'm submitted to God, but your action tells me different, I know you're not submitted to God. So you have to check, you have to examine. See, your calling, you have to make your calling and your election sure. And that means that if God elected you and he calls you, you will line up with his purpose and his word. And if you know, and you know that you know, and you tell me, I am elected, I am called, I am ordained, then let me see the life. I want to see your sermon, not preach, but let me see the life that goes with that statement. Because you cannot be elected. You have to make it sure. You know how you make your calling and election sure? You look at your life, if it's producing what God decided to call you for, the purpose he called you for, it's bringing out a bride that's supposed to have his word, supposed to be submissive to the groom. If he's providing, then you have been called, and you know your calling and your election, because your life lines up with what? With his word. You know when you get to maturity, that you know you're there? When more and more and more of your life gets submitted to him, and you submit to him, and whatever he said, she will do, because the word is in her. So, this tonight, we want unity. The body has to call unity, but you need to unite to him. I need to unite to him, and as I unite with him, and I'm mature, then we all gonna what? Come together as a body. I believe that this is the time. I believe of adoption. This is the time of unity. This is the time to come together. I think this is the fullness of time. It's right there at the door. What should be happening in church? We're supposed to be one body, in one accord, one language, one culture, one God, one spirit, one baptism. If we got that, we have to do the same thing that the spirit do. You cannot have that and I say, I have that and we are acting differently. You can't. That's how you make your calling and your election sure. When you look at your life and you look at the mirror of the word and it lines up, then you know your calling is sure. And you can say, it is sure. I know that I know that I know he called me. Why? Because my life represents the calling and the purpose that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Amen. It is time to unite. And if your life is not striving to unite, you cannot tell me I'm uniting with God. What about your brother and your sister? It has to work both. You cannot be uniting with God and disregarding the rest of the body. It just does not happen. If you get closer to God and closer to God, then I can see the same thing, how you get closer and closer and closer to your brother, to your sister. You cannot have it both ways. That's your calling. That's your purpose. That's God's purpose. The closer you get to the calling, the probably you get to the maturity, the closer I get to you, brother. And that's how we're going to go to get in one body. See, that. Then you start serving me, I start serving you. Because the gift was given to do that. You cannot be telling me that you are getting closer to God when you are not serving the purpose that you was created to serve the people that God has called. In whatever capacity that he has called you. Amen. All right, I use all my time. But listen, I think this is the time of a quick work. You don't remember, it's a quick, short work. You know what that means, Brother Mike? These children and these young people don't have 40 years. I had 40 years in this message to God to bring me from here to maturity. These kids don't have 40 years. I don't think there's 40 years ahead of us. So God has to do it quick and short and bring them all the way like you to maturity. I believe there's a move right now. It started this year. God is working quickly. He's going to move these young people. He's going to move these children. And he's going to do a quick work to bring them all the way that it took 40 years for me. It might take 5 years for them. I don't know. But it has to be quick and short, because that's where we are. When you see that happening, and you see the young people getting interested, and you see God working in their life, you know something is happening. They don't have much time. It has to be a quick work. This year, I believe, it started the quick work and the short work that God is going to do. And you need to support that work. The sooner it's done, the sooner we leave. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity that we have. Father, it's an honor, it's a privilege to stand here, Father, and open myself and let you have control, Father, through the Spirit, through your inspiration. Father, it is impossible. I don't know every heart. I don't know every need. It's impossible for me to try. There's no way I can even try. I don't know, Father, but we are relying on you, Father. You are the one. You are the one that orchestrated. You are the one that bring harmony. You are the one that designed the plan. You are the one that directed the drama. And you gave me my part, and you gave everybody their part, and you directing all those parts through the Holy Ghost. And the outcome is that we can become one, and we have harmony among each other, Father. And I think this is the time. This is the time where we need to come together in harmony, in one mind, in one accord, in one language, Father. Not mine, not theirs, but your language, heavenly language, the will of God done in earth like in heaven. Father, we love you. We thank you. And I just forgive me for the time that I have taken, Father. But I believe one thing. It is important. It is important that we spend it whatever time it is. It might be a little long, but it's very important. We come into the end. We cannot spare any more time. We cannot waste any more time. God needs to finish the work. Times are here, the fullness. The end is here. And Father, there must be a bride, mature, a bride that is perfect, a bride that will have, thus said the Lord, a bride that will discern evil, good, a bride that will be God invisible, made visible once again before the rapture. Father, it will come, the little bride, she will have, thus said the Lord. Father, Satan will be frustrated, destroyed. When she gets to that point, there won't be no more diseases. There won't be no more sickness. There will be no more death, because she's going to rise the dead. She's going to pray and heal the sick. And we are going to believe this is the time, Father. Now is the time. If there was any time to be serious, there was any time to press, it is now, Father. This is it. Coming together in one body and finishing the work that you already purpose in our life before the foundation of the world. Bless your people, Father. Ask you to cover them, to protect them and keep them, Father. And Father, we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you for being so good.